You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Rod Black in the house. And Jack Armstrong's going to join us in about 5 minutes. And Scott Mitchell coming up from the park ahead of Kevin Biggio's MLB debut tonight. He'll join us in about a half an hour.
Are you looking forward to talking to Jack, Rod?
As we call each other, Black Jack. I always, you know what, I just love Jack Armstrong, the kind of guy he is, the broadcaster he is, the coach he is. He's helped my kids through some of their sports things. He gives them like little talks. He talks with everybody. He's the most likable guy around. I quite like him late nights. We've had a few of those through the years, but I also love the dad he is. He's a tremendous father. His story is incredible. He and his wife Dina have done through the years with their kids, and he's just a good guy. And by the way, he's a 3-time Canadian, what do they call it now? Screen Award.
That's right, man.
Award winner as analyst. Recognize. As analyst.
That's right. Not just a pretty face. He is a. Yeah. Superstar.
Yeah, and he knows the game. I really love our guys and our panel. Like Leo, nobody that I know knows the game better from playing the game, the ins and outs, the X's and O's. And then we got Sam. Guys, rolls in when he wants.
Is Sam coming up?
Sam or? Is some other. No, he's possible game seven. So I don't want to see Sam, but we'll see him in the finals if the Raptors get to the finals. And right. Sam's, you guys know, he's just. You know that,
oh,
Dave. You know that,
him.
Dave.
Oh,
yeah, we. You know that, Dave.
Dave Hayes is well aware of Sam Mitchell.
Gah.
Sorry about that, Ryan.
I'll tell you one. There's a. You've probably seen him courtside. One of the best super fans the Raptors have. His name's John Fitzgerald. Fitzy, as they call him. I think he's a bigger super fan than even Nav. He goes to all the games. And
is he the guy with the gray hair?
Yeah, lovable guy. Got the beard. Yeah, great dude.
I was wondering who in the heck that guy is. Every game he's under the net.
Yeah, I shouldn't probably tell this story, but I'm going to. So Sam and I and Fitzy go golfing last week over at Islington. Fitzy's a member. And Sam's a pretty good player, by the way. He's a good solid 8, and he's a good player. And he was using rentals. And we're on one of the greens. And this is, we never would do this game day, but we didn't have the game that night. So we just had to do post-game. So it was early in the day. And Sam's putting, and we look behind. Fitzy looks over, and there's a deer charging at us, and just grazes past Sam. It was so cool. Like Sam's going,
that probably
can't believe.
Made him hate Canada.
No. But the metaphor that night, we said, "Fear the deer," and the deer went meandering off into somebody's balcony or patio, and the Raptors have not lost since Sam Mitchell.
Almost got
rear-ended by the antler of a deer. So there's the story.
Like it.
I'm gonna stay with that one.
I'm on board with that.
Just seen Sam's eyes though. Guys.
Well, I would panic
guys.
Anybody. Wouldn't it panic? Like even if you live in the woods, you'd be panicked.
Oh, yeah. I had to pick up something from my fiance today, and a dog attacked me, like ran me right out of the front door. I'm like, I said to the lady, I'm like, get control of your dog. You want to be cool and have your dog hanging around. You can't attack people.
Well, that.
And I'm not afraid of dogs. It was this big Labrador. It's like you don't have your dog run after people.
That's what makes people afraid of dogs. Like you always have those images as a kid. The worst is when you've got a big dog that's overly aggressive and maybe totally innocent. But the owner's always like, oh, they're just, you know, it's a really nice dog. It's like, well. You know, the
I don't care.
Kid's 5 years old, and it's terrifying. Yeah. The
I had full right to. I could have hauled off and teed off on this dog to protect myself. I didn't know what it was going to do.
I don't trust. I hate to say it. I don't trust it. I'm a dog lover. I have a dog, but I don't think anybody should really trust anybody else's dog. No. I mean, you got to, and that's why they have to be on leashes.
Yeah. No way.
Sorry about that.
What do you got back there?
This is a protein bar.
This is the amazing thing. Ever since we've been in this new studio, because, Rod, you were just talking about this new studio. We're in the same spot, but, you know, they've rearranged the deck chairs here. And we're up on TV. My mic is right in front of me all the time. Your mic and Noodle's mic is right in front of you. O's mic is, like, 3 inches beside his body so that he can have...
Personal
the laptop.
Space.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
But I don't think you've got anything up on that screen. You use it simply as a screen, so you can eat your little...
I've got my setup back here.
Right. I'm taking a picture. I'll post it on my Instagram account.
No, you're not.
Because you got a coffee back there. What else you got? You
Cliff
got
Bar.
Does that come with mustard?
No.
Like, you don't need that laptop. Why don't you just build, like, just get some cardboard or something?
The classic is he's got the coffee right on top of that laptop.
The laptop doesn't work. I'm convinced it hasn't been turned on.
It doesn't. My charger is up in Collingwood, and it's just been blank for 4 days.
It's just an eating table.
Well, that was some Bob Uecker. Do you want to play the other Bob Uecker we found last night? Because Bob Uecker, we've been thinking about this the past couple of weeks.
The Major League, right?
Right, and he's from Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I think he's the most famous person from Milwaukee who's still alive. Mm. We found out that Gene Wilder is from Milwaukee.
Oh, well.
Liberace was from Milwaukee. Can you believe that? Liberace from Milwaukee. So we think Bob Uecker is the most famous person from Milwaukee. And as a result, we're talking about this because of Drake, and Drake represents Toronto at Raptors games. Milwaukee needs someone who's from there. Aaron Rodgers is not from there. David Bakhtiari is not from there. So we started talking about Uecker in Major League, where he plays Harry Doyle. And he's got a color guy who doesn't say anything throughout the whole movie. And we played a couple of clips, but we found the one we were looking for yesterday. You guys want to hear this?
Yes.
Yeah. Bonnie, anything to add? He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
Anything to add?
No.
No.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
You know who would never do that?
Jack
Armstrong.
Yeah.
Here's our main man. Jack, what's happening, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jeff and Brian and my man, Roddy?
Yeah.
How you
guys doing? It's just been 3 hours since I talked to you, Jack. We're getting to know each other, all of us, rather intimately.
Oh, I know you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we all know each other.
Have you ever sneezed on live TV like you did last night?
That was the first time in my life I've ever sneezed on, you know, because usually you're behind a desk and you get the cough button, but I've never been on camera where there's no cough button. I didn't know what to do, so I just decided to sneeze on Rod's jacket.
Yeah. I got it dry cleaned. It was okay.
I like that move. There's not much you can do. I mean, we do
live radio. I'm always afraid of that because when I sneeze once, I sneeze 12 times in a row. So I'm like, what happens if that happens? Panel, this show, anything.
Right.
It's 12 in a row,
well,
automatic.
Here's what happens. You know, spring is finally here, and, you know, things are in bloom. And then, of course, I'm in Milwaukee, so all the wheat and the barley that you consume as well just throws your system out of whack a little bit.
Right. That barley can be, be tough.
Yeah.
There is a lot of barley.
There's a lot of barley.
That's my understanding of Milwaukee.
In bottles.
Right. How cool was that last night? I mean, you called a game, and it was that's the biggest game in franchise history. I know we've said that a lot recently, but that was pretty incredible considering the way the game started. And they were down by 10 in the third quarter, yet it always felt like they were within range and they were keeping their composure.
I did game 4 at Philly on TV, and I was like, wow, that was an amazing win. Did game 7 on radio against Philly, and I was like, wow, I don't know how you top that. And then last night was just, again, one of those moments where, you know, you're playing from behind quite a bit, but you're just scuffling the whole night, and you're hanging around and hanging around and showing just wonderful resiliency and toughness and togetherness and belief in what you do. And on top of all that, having a guy like Kawhi Leonard who just made some amazing plays, not only for himself but for his teammates, he just has such a high level of poise and composure. You know, we laugh about his stoic personality, but I think in moments like that, it really benefits having a guy like that because he's unflappable. He just he's bigger than the moment, and he stays dialed in. I love watching him in the huddles. All eye contact, pays complete attention to his coaches, is really tuned in. When a teammate says something to him, he listens, he responds. But he's just a really mature, intelligent player that obviously has got tremendous physical gifts. But beyond that, I think more importantly, there's plenty of guys out there that have gifts, physical gifts, but they don't have the makeup and the maturity and the discipline and the willingness to sacrifice that he has, and he's got all that as well.
Well, what he has managed to do here with Giannis in particular has had such a massive ripple effect, because they were down 2-0. He wasn't on him much the first two games. My understanding is Kawhi effectively said, give this guy to me, I'll take him. And Giannis has cratered. You know, his game has fallen off a cliff in the fourth quarter. Invisible. He didn't do anything for Milwaukee.
And he got hurt late.
Right. And this is the MVP, I think will be the MVP. It's either him or James Harden. And as impressive as Kawhi's numbers have been offensively, and again, we're talking historic numbers, not for the Raptors, like NBA history, the kind of averages he is posting at his position. But, you know, as a basketball lifer, Jack, you must be watching him completely neutralize a freak. Like, it's not just a name. Giannis is a freak, and Giannis, and he doesn't look like it. Like, Kawhi has completely shut him down.
You know, and it's interesting. I love the fact that Nick Nurse decided to start him in the fourth quarter and not give him a little bit of a quick blow, because we've seen some of that sometimes, just to give him a quick blow and then play him the last 9.5, 10 minutes of the fourth quarter. I felt really good about the fact when I saw him go back out there to start the fourth quarter, I'm like, hey, man, it's winning time. You start three at the end of three, and you're going for the jugular here. You got a chance. You got to play this dude as long as you can, ride him in the fourth quarter. You win it, you know, the series, you have an opportunity to tip it your way. If you lose it, they got a chance now with two opportunities. So you got to go for it. And I just love the fact that he did that. And, you know, when I watch Kawhi, particularly against Philadelphia and Milwaukee, I mean, I have such respect for all the teams that they played. I'm Steve Clifford, the coach of Orlando, is a longtime friend, and he's a great basketball man. And for based upon their talent level, they got a lot out of them. And that was a tough first-round opponent. Philadelphia has tremendous talent. And Milwaukee has been the best team in professional basketball this year. So you're doing it against Orlando, which was a sound, well-disciplined defensive scheme. Philadelphia, a long, athletic, sound defensive team. And now you're going against a Milwaukee team that's, again, was the best team in the league on both sides of the ball. So you're doing it against the best. You're not doing it against the Memphis Grizzlies or something like that. You're doing it against elite people, and it's at a high, high level. And, you know, I think his training in San Antonio definitely helps, and he has confidence, but it's not cockiness, because the guy pays the price and he goes into work every day prepared to play, and he's super confident in the fact that his preparation will come out and shine through.
Jack, tomorrow's a big moment in the franchise, probably the biggest moment. Kawhi's been a finals MVP. As a coach, is there anything, there's a bunch of inexperience there, guys that haven't been in this position or have had that opportunity. Is there anything you can say to a player as the coach to make them feel a little bit more comfortable, or is it just this is going to be a crazy, pressure-packed, tense situation, you got to go out and deal with it?
I think, Rod's been there since day one, 24 years. I've been fortunate 21 years with the Raptors. And for me, as I reflect on this moment and reflect on just my lousy coaching career, the one thing I do look at, though, is in a series like this, the most important thing when you play Milwaukee is, hey, let's be disciplined offensively. You know, they only turned the ball over 6 times last night. They did turn the ball over in the fourth quarter. So let's be sound defensively. Let's move the ball. Let's give up good ones to get great ones. Let's get off to a good start offensively. Even if you're not making shots, just don't let them get in transition. And so your whole identity should be, you know, offensive discipline, play the right way, and then on the defensive end, just keep doing what you're doing. And the Raptor defense has been elite. You know, it's interesting when Nick Nurse was hired, and in his 5 years as an assistant here, you know, he was looked at as a kind of an offensive savant. And his team's bread and butter, up until probably the last 2 games, has been just how great defensively they've been. Nick is a complete coach, and that's what I love about him. I think he's a guy that can coach, you know, all facets of the game, and he does it really, really well. And to me, you know, when you look at game four, that was a complete game on both sides of the ball. Last night, even though they didn't shoot well, they protected the ball and they played a good, solid, disciplined, high percentage oriented road game. And their defense was stellar. And that's, to me, a sign of a really well-coached team that is completely bought in, that has, in addition to the coaching staff, great internal leadership with the players. You got a lot of veteran players that are mature people. And I just love watching the dialogue between the players on the bench. They are all tuned in. They're not looking at it, who's sitting in a 12th row and this and that. These guys are dialed in to the game. And to me, I think that's a joy to watch.
Jackal, knowing you so well, you're big into body language. You're also big into emotional lifts that teams can get from being at home. And you've seen it in Toronto. You saw it in Milwaukee. The Bucks looked invincible there in those first two games. I mean, even though the Raptors almost pulled out game one, but that second game, that crowd almost willed that team. How important do you think, it may sound like a crazy intangible, but how important do you think Scotiabank Arena is tomorrow night?
It's critical because, you know, you have the veteran team and Milwaukee's got a younger team. And I said it during game four on TV, in the second half of that game, late third, early fourth, the Bucks cracked. Not in a way that they cracked for the series, but they cracked within the game, that they kind of capitulated a little bit and lost their will a little bit in that game and kind of knew, like, hey, defeat was at hand. Okay, now we got to get ready for the next game. And I think they fully went into the game last night confident, as they should be, that they could win because they're a terrific team. And I have nothing but respect for what they've done. So I think for the Raptors tomorrow night, when you're playing an inexperienced playoff team, I think it's really important that your crowd get behind your team. I think it's really important that your team comes out and do those two things that I mentioned earlier and come out and just set the tone that, you know, if I'm Kyle Lowry, if I'm Marc Gasol, like, I haven't been to an NBA Finals before. I think those guys alone walking into the arena tomorrow night are going to be like, hey, man, this might not ever happen again in my life. We got to get this right here, right now. And if you're a Danny Green and you're a Kawhi Leonard, you've been there, done that in San Antonio. Yet, you know how precious it is because there's been other years you haven't. And I think you pull the guys like the Siakams and the Powells and the Van Vliet along. And to the credit of a guy like Serge Ibaka, he's had great experience as well in Oklahoma City. So I think those guys walk in the room tomorrow with a great desire to win and a great urgency to win. And I think the crowd will only help them. And again, you're probably going to come out and you'll be a little jittery and miss some shots, but that's what happened last night too, which is cool. You just keep grinding, but the crowd in a lot of ways is going to help you. And again, just continuing to stick to the habits that have made you really good throughout.
Can't wait for it tomorrow night. It's going to be fun. Enjoy it down there, Jack. As always, we appreciate you finding some time for us. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Guys, my pleasure. And by the way, I know Arthur Fonzarelli, you didn't mention him at all, the Fonz.
Right.
Yeah, he's not he's a fictional native.
Doesn't work. Yeah, Laverne and Shirley, doesn't work.
Balboa, Philadelphia.
No, it's got to be someone that's like a real person, Jack. I think it's Bob Uecker and everyone else.
Who's the most famous Milwaukee native? Who is it?
Well, Liberace.
Liberace.
Liberace? Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Candelabra.
Right.
Yeah. Gene Wilder.
Oh, okay.
Gene Wilder's pretty famous.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
It's Slim Pickens, man, after that.
Yeah, I don't think Bob Uecker would be on the sideline like Drake would be. I mean,
I don't see it.
Bob Uecker has the seat right up in the...
in the back row, the euchre seats.
They'll put him up there.
He'll never be in the front row.
He's a legend.
The front row.
Yeah.
There you go.
Jacko, love you, man. Talk to you tomorrow.
Love you. I gotta go. It's you know it's Friday night and it's 6:20 Eastern time, so you know what that means.
Go time. Give it to us.
Happy hour somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Amen to that. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Here's Jack Armstrong. He is thirsty at 6:20.
What is that? Does he go back to Buffalo or no?
He's in Toronto.
I think he might have.
I'm watching him on SportsCenter right now.
Yeah, you know what? I think he did go back, though. I think he's going back. I'm pretty sure he's going back, and they'll come back tomorrow. He goes back quite a bit. So,
all right.
He's got a camera. Jack's big time. Jack's got a camera in his living room in Buffalo.
As he should.
Or Niagara Falls, New York.
Well, tonight feels like a green light special. He should have stayed up here in Toronto.
Yeah, I might. Yeah.
Green light.
I would have.
Special.
You know, the road is hard. When this is a grinding road trip. Yeah, I mean, we've been on
creeping up on the finals now. It's a long time.
It's like you're talking 50 days, I think.
5-hour flights to the Bay Area, too.
Oh, yeah.
Five and a half.
Well,
like if they can get through, you're talking 5.5-hour flights.
Yeah.
So gear up for that.
Thankfully, they changed that format. Remember how it used to be? Well, they went back the other way. It's going to be 2-2. Yeah, use 2-3-2. They did it because of those flights.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, well. Jack will find a happy hour that way, too. It's 3 hours earlier.
I wouldn't be too worried about that.
I don't know about the 2-3-2. It doesn't seem like it's an advantage for the...
No. That's why they went back. Because those three games in the middle were significant. You know, they could really turn things. Baseball did it for a while, too, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, it should be, you know... consistent throughout the playoffs, I think.
They used to have the best of five. Remember that?
That's right.
That wasn't too long ago.
Right. Well, the first round.
Raptors' first
playoff series they ever won.
Yeah, that's where you get a lot of upsets, too.
Yeah, that's right. Big night for the Blue Jays as well. I mean, not from a wins and losses perspective, but Kevin Biggio has been called up. Ordaz Gurriel Jr. is back up with the club. They're both playing tonight. Gurriel Jr. in left. Biggio at second. We know Vladdy's going to be in the lineup tonight. Rowdy Tellez. So you got the kids that are up here. Danny Jansen. A lot of the core is probably going to be on display tonight. So Scotty Mitchell will join us from the park. We'll tee up that game a little bit with him. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Blue Jays continue their homestand tonight. San Diego in town. And remember to head over to the Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay. 1050's playoff headquarters. I think the place will be packed tomorrow night. Downtown.
It's a good spot.
You guys downtown been? Will be buzzing. We did a show from there.
Oh, yeah?
We didn't do a show. We did like a fan.
Happy hour?
It was happy hour. Was
don't bring Jack to that show.
Although you weren't having any drinks at that point. You were doing your whole
Lent
thing.
What?
For all of a sudden he's religious and committed.
That ain't right, man.
I just came back from Mexico. It was
that is right.
It was nothing to do with religion. It was a 40-day, actually 55-day.
Where were you in Mexico?
Just this all-inclusive dialed-in resort.
In? What's
I don't know, Cancun.
Oh, Cancun? Oh, yeah, I like Cancun. It's on. On there.
Nothing wrong with Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, there's something wrong.
There's a lot. You got to be careful where you go.
I wouldn't suggest just walking around any part of Mexico.
You guys ever gone to Cabo, San Lucas?
No.
Love it. It's very kind of California, Mexico, because it's on that Baja. Great golf courses, like off the charts golf courses.
Whenever it comes
beautiful
up,
place.
Noodles talks about the Sammy Hagar spot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Cabo Wabo.
Cabo Wabo or something. And then they have women go in there and they leave their brassieres hanging in the. Like 1,000 brassieres.
They do that in spots downtown in Toronto.
Oh, nice.
I think the
brassiere is an old school term.
Cabo Wabo.
The brassiere.
Brassiere.
I haven't heard a good old brassiere.
Well, that's from an old guy.
That's the Chesterfield.
I wanted to be proper. And
I'm going to be sitting on the Chesterfield.
They threw their bras up on the ceiling.
Yeah, that one's. I've never seen that happen live.
Like I actually have.
Oh, you've seen a woman do that?
Might have been my wife and her friend.
They both decided to donate a bra.
There's bras in crazy places. At my ski club, you go up and you see a random tree and there's a bra.
Lots of them, actually. Up at Blue Mountain. Lots of them.
What's the point?
I don't know. What's going on up there?
And
in the dead of winter?
And you can't get them, right? They're right on the top of the trees. You can't get them. And they're there. I think it's just to say, next time you go up, there's my bra.
Yeah.
Right. I've left my bra up there a few times.
Have you? A yes. man's ear?
Yes, a man bra.
A bro?
Yes.
All right. Scott Mitchell, I think, has been on hold listening to this. So
poor dude.
Yeah. I wonder if there's... I mean, that would spice up the Rogers Center. Give it. How many people do you think are going to be there tonight?
Leave your bra.
15 grand.
Leave your bra at the park night.
Leave your bra at the park night. That's a promotion for people, I think. Kevin Biggio is making his debut tonight. And here's our main man, our Blue Jay reporter, Scott Mitchell. What's happening, Scotty?
Man, 4 years of these media meals, and I'm going to need a bro soon.
Yeah, it gets to the best of us, doesn't it?
catches up quickly.
Big time, man.
What's that meal like down there? Is it top shelf?
Oh, man, actually, I could talk all night about this one. It's poutine tater tots. You make your own poutine. There's sandwiches. There's veggie burgers.
Oh,
great.
Wow.
It's a great spread. They've really upped their game this year. They moved us out to left field and then just gave us all the food. So I'm fine with it.
Wow. Now, are you expensing that to TSN or is it on a house?
No, it's coming out of my wallet, man.
Really?
Yeah, we should probably have a nice long convo about that. Maybe I should be expensing
Yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
All day long. Ben, you are at work.
Ben, you could actually, you know, parlay that into a new segment for TSN. Hey, the press.
Mitchell's Media Meal?
Yeah, Mitchell's Media Meal.
Why not? Hey, listen, it's going to be a long summer. Long summer of Blue Jay updates.
Hey, Scotty, you've been around the league. There are some bad places, bad press box meals. And there are some great ones, but there's some bad ones.
Oh, there's some terrible ones. I mean,
What's the worst?
I gained 15 pounds, freshman 15, my first year on this beat.
No way.
What's the worst?
That's a tough call. Cleveland didn't have a great one. They gave you a bag of Lay's potato chips, and there was a nice fountain pop. So that one got to me after a full weekend of that.
After five bags of chips.
Well, yeah. You know it's all like you know the
that's
fans.
It a bag of chips.
I think they give you what they do in Cleveland is they give you this voucher and you can wander down into the stands and get whatever you want.
They do that in the NBA. They're doing that right now in the finals. You get a voucher in both Toronto and in Milwaukee.
They don't set you up with like a spread or anything.
There's no room because so much media.
So what? You got to have a spread somewhere. Sorry.
Yeah, it's amateur hour. Not
$20 does not go far at Scotiabank Arena.
No. Yeah. No kidding.
Half a hot dog.
I agree. I'm a big spread guy as well.
No, you got to have options. I mean, come on. Kevin Biggio, he's going to make his debut tonight. He's 24. I mean, people have heard of him because he's having a very good season. And because of his last name, I mean, we all know his old man who's in the Hall of Fame. But what are the expectations? What are you hearing throughout the organization? I mean, he's come on strong over the past calendar year, but I don't think this was a guy when he was coming out of high school or college or whatever was expected to light the league on fire. He's nowhere close to the hype that Vladdy was getting, but I think they're pretty excited, are they not?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right about that. It's been interesting. The funny thing is we just talked to Ross Atkins, and, you know, I followed this guy since he was a fifth-round pick out of Notre Dame, and, you know, that's what it was. This was a guy with obviously a name brand, and he's always been looked at as a hard worker, and I think the biggest, thing that happened with him is he made some swing changes coming into last season, really unlocked a lot of power. So I asked Atkins, have you even had trouble putting a ceiling on this guy? And, you know, he completely agreed and said, you know, I think this organization from within looks at him as, you know, a real big wild card because, you know, there's a chance he's a glue guy. Behind the scenes, they've talked about him as, you know, potentially their Dustin Pedroia, probably not an MVP, but a guy who, you know, his teammates rally around. Just a gritty guy that, you know, people, tend to love in this game. And when you add in the swing changes, you add in the plate discipline, it's been an interesting journey these last couple of years because, he looked like a guy who would, you know, maybe be a super utility guy that can move around and that's what he's going to do. But there's a real chance that, you know, he's a lot more than that. And he's such a smart kid and such a hard worker. Those are the types of players that it's real dumb to put ceilings on because he's busted through everyone so far. So, you know, this guy's got a good bat. The glove isn't going to be a huge value, but, the plate discipline with the power, it's a real intriguing package. And you know what? 2 years from now, we're going to find out a whole lot. And it wouldn't be surprised if, you know, people still tried to put ceilings on him and he continued to do what he's done, which is just blow through him.
Well, he's going to play at second tonight. And you mentioned the flavor of the day in baseball, super utility. And he even admitted today he doesn't know exactly where he's going to be, but he expects to move around the diamond. And Lourdes Gurriel Jr.'s up, and now he's playing, I think, left field tonight, and he's been working out as an outfielder down in AAA. And I think that is likely his projection as a major leaguer, as kind of a super utility guy. If Biggio falls into a similar line, I mean, does it get to a point where you want some stability, or is that kind of where we're at in 2019, where you see it with other clubs, where guys just move around the diamond all the time, and it doesn't really matter if you don't have a specific position?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Baseball is becoming more positionless and positionless as the years go by. And, you know, you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, they have about, you know, six or seven guys that can play two or three different spots. And what that does is obviously gives a manager a whole lot of options. It allows you to cover yourself for injuries, poor play, or whatever it may be. But, you know, there is a little more clarity on that. It sounds like second base is going to be where Biggio gets most of his reps to start. Obviously, he will dabble in the outfield at times. He can play a capable first base, a little backup there. He can play a little third, but it sounds like they're going to look at him at second, give him a long, hard look there, move him around on certain days just when the lineup needs it. But and then Gurriel, who started the season as a potential shortstop option, they quickly kicked him over to second base when they signed Freddie Galvison. Obviously, that didn't go very well. We saw the throwing issues. It sounds like, you know, he's going to be more of an outfielder these days. They're going to look at him in the middle infield at times when the need is there, but you're going to see him a whole lot in left field. And, you know, I think that's the smart plan. I mean, same thing following Biggio around for 3 years now. Gurriel, once he signed, people looked at him as a super utility type almost immediately, and he did play a little outfield in Cuba. So to me, I the part that excites me about him is the bat. And I think, you know, being in the outfield and allowing him to kind of focus on that rather than some of the middle infield, you know, defensive things that he's been trying to develop over the last couple of years, I think that'll really, you know, help him along. And, you know, we'll start to see, you know, exactly what he is with the bat. And, you know, that's what excites this Blue Jays organization about him.
Scotty, with San Diego in, it's a couple of ex-members from the national junior team, guys we've watched through the years, Josh Naylor with the Padres. And then tomorrow, what time is tomorrow's game?
Tomorrow's a 3:07
so that's perfect to go to the game and get to see Cal Quantrill, Paul Quantrill's kid. I think it's tomorrow, right? Is Cal tomorrow?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's,
to toe the same rubber that his dad did, awesome. to make his start, I mean, I think that's fabulous. What a great day that could be.
Yeah, we talked to both Josh and Cal earlier today, and you know, he told a great story. It worked out well, so well for both those guys, because Josh got the call kind of unexpectedly, you know, having a great year in AAA. But Cal got to come in yesterday with an off day for the Padres, and he actually went out to Port Hope, where he's from, and then took the Via Rail back in today. So he got a little chance. He said him and his dad played catch in their backyard. So, you know, it's a real interesting kind of vibe down here today, because there's a lot of youth, a lot of the future being on display for both teams here. And yeah, to get those guys and you know, obviously Cal is, I think it's his fourth start coming up tomorrow, but obviously first in Toronto, and then, you know, a major league debut for a kid from Mississauga. You know, it's a pretty special night down here. And you know, this kind of shows, you know, baseball is a sport that is moving in the direction of youth, and both these teams are two teams that are subscribing to that. And the Padres are, you know, a real interesting example for the Blue Jays to look at, because they're a couple years ahead of this rebuild, and they're obviously in contention, signing Hosmer last winter and then Manny Machado. So, you know, there's a real good blueprint for Blue Jays fans to look at with this team about how you develop the pipeline, and then you start supplementing by adding some name brand pieces, which is what Blue Jays fans are hoping to be, you know, Ross Atkins and the decision makers here are going to be able to do over the next couple winters. And I think, you know, it's a really interesting kind of dynamic to see both these teams lining up with some fresh faces in the lineup as well.
Well, the next big name, the only big name left that is within contention of playing on the team this year is Bo Bichette. And if and when he comes up, and I'm not sure he will, I think they might service time him or play
that
dance.
Got to get that hair
him.
Up here.
Oh, the hair is immediately the best hair in Toronto.
Hands down.
Hands down. But if you get him up, you got Vladdy, you got Bichette, you got Biggio, you got Gurriel Jr., you got Rowdy, who's been playing a lot better. He's got an OPS up over 800. All of a sudden, Danny Jansen, you know, we'll see what happens with the bat. And he had a big hit, big home run the other day. That's, you know, that's five pieces. That feels, and Randall Grichuk, I guess, is here. Whether you like the contract or not, he's here for 5 years. A lot of the youth and a lot of the core that I believe they're hoping to build around could be here within the next couple of months.
Yeah, they should. been slowly kind of, you know, filtering these guys up. Obviously, Jansen last year, Guerrero, and then Biggio, and then, yeah, Bichette is going to be the guy. And, you know, it's an interesting case, and you mentioned the service time thing, and a lot of people have kind of speculated about that. You know, I talked to Atkins back in December, and he actually talked about, you know, a full year in AAA being ideal for him. But the fact is, I'm starting to believe, just based on some conversation I'm having, that he's going to be up in the second half this year. Which is, you know, a little bit of a deviation. And I think, you know, when you look at what the Guerrero situation was, I think they've looked at this now. They want to break these kids in this year and really set them loose next year to find out what they've got. And that's what this season has been about, is about finding out what you have. You know, you throw Teoscar Hernandez out there for the first 6 weeks, and, you know, he craters and fails, and you start to find out, you know, what he is. And, you know, I think they want to look at some of these other infielders. Obviously, Freddie Galvis has played well enough that, you know, maybe if you can move him, you know, there's some opportunity for Bichette. So that one's going to be a real interesting one to track. And he's down with the broken hand right now, but sounds like they're expecting him back in early June. So, you know, that'll be an interesting one to track. And I think, you know, it's probably a 50-50 to 60-40 scenario right now that he's probably in the lineup at some point in the second half of the season, especially if he returns from this hand injury and starts to rake.
Thank you, Scotty. Enjoy the weekend, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys.
There he is, Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, live from the Rogers Center. That's an interesting report that, you know, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I know service time, I get it, and I think that had more to do with the way baseball used to be operating. But now you look at a lot of these kids, they come up after a year or two, they're signing monster deals anyway. Mm-hmm. They're not going through arbitration. And if Bichette and Guerrero are going to play the way we believe they're going to play, they're going to demand big contracts in the next 2 or 3 years anyway, and you're going to have to give it to them.
Yeah, you don't see the 30-somethings get that money anymore.
No.
That's not the way baseball, that's not the way the analytics work. You know, it's interesting listening to that, because it reminds me when I used to do the Blue Jays, of years back in the 90s when they went young and they had these young guns like Carlos Delgado coming in and Roy Halladay and Chris Carpenter and Kelvin Escobar as pitchers. And, you know, it was all about looking towards the future. And it was kind of like this time. You know, they weren't going to win a pennant. They weren't going to make the playoffs. But it was fun. It still was fun. And yeah, they played to a lot of half houses. But you know what? They become Hall of Famers like Roy Halladay. You know, rest in power. Maybe, you know, you get to see stars. And we've got an opportunity here to see some players.
I'm all about that, Rod. I'm all about the young guys coming up. But once they do become the stars, like, put a team together and actually do something with them.
Absolutely.
As opposed to not doing anything. And then you're rebuilding from a rebuild, and it's garbage.
Yeah, go and get them. Because they went through that one, too, a few years ago. I hated that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, and I like the strategy of, like, give them a test run this year. It's awful. Like, their teams, no one thinks they're ever going to win games.
Yeah.
Like, you're playing without pressure. Yeah, people are focused on you, and you're in the majors. You have to act like a pro and perform. But once Bichette is healthy, get them up, get them all in the lineup, and then next year, start to build around them. Give them an opportunity to grow. Next year, probably they're not going to win a lot of games either. Mm-hmm. But at least they're here, and they start to solidify who they are as pros.
And then go get a couple free agents.
And then
go get some arms.
Get some arms. That's what they need. I mean, more than anything, they need arms within the organization. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the MLB board tonight, I'm over in the Blue Jay game tonight. Under in the Houston-Boston game. Chris Sale's on the mound. He's been on fire. And I'll take Washington home plus. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game. It lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Game 6 tomorrow night, Raptors-Bucks. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050. 8:30 tip-off, 7 p.m. pregame. I got the yes guy last night. I'm going to be in the house tomorrow night.
I think you got to take it next level. He got permission to go to the game.
I heard that on the way here.
Yeah.
But he should go next level, get the hall pass, stay at the parents. But the deal is he's got to be home by 8, and you tell the wife, go to the spa. I've got the kids, and I'll have dinner ready. Yeah, and you go crazy.
I'd love to. I'm in the mood. I haven't been out much.
Welcome to fatherhood, my friend.
Right? You got the newborn at home. I mean, it. You know how it is. You guys have been down the road before.
Yeah.
But I got the yes guy for tomorrow night.
So. And you'll be sitting beside Yes, guy.
That's right. Tap yes. Man. I'm going to see you down there, Roddy. There. All for the sure. Boys, man.
You'll be Frank the Tank. One sip, touches your lips, you'll be going nuts.
Yeah.
Should I maybe get a hall pass, too, and then we
should
both
we just, get, go, all
just all go all out?
Let's
get the Tap Man.
Oh, Charles Barkley, the Tap Man.
Yeah.
Everyone will be
Chuck,
well.
Chuck will be there.
The city will be fired up if they can win tomorrow night. Like, can you imagine downtown if the weather can hold, even if it doesn't, but if the weather can hold and they can win tomorrow night,
I'm sure my age,
will be buzzing.
I'm showing my age, but I hosted the World Series in 92 and 93, and when they won the World Series in Atlanta, the party was a little more subdued. We were all there and came back when the parade was on, but I saw the pictures. In 93... when Joe Carter hit that home run, this city went nuts. And I would imagine there are going to be a lot of parties. And I think it's a Toronto team, but I think it's everybody in Canada. I get a lot of calls. They're watching the Raptors.
That was back in the day when you could buy a ticket. My brother my mom were at that game.
Yeah, $80 for a World Series ticket.
Yeah.
Now it's like,
what are courtsides going to go for tomorrow night?
Ooh. Well, I think
$5,000 a ticket.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, they're about $5,000 a ticket
anyway
in Milwaukee. And so I think, and they'll get it, by the way. They'll get it. I don't know how people can afford it sometimes. I think we all make a pretty good living.
$5,000?
Even to go for $500 a ticket. Having said that, man, what an experience. And it was like the Game 7. People always talk about where they were when Kawhi hit that shot.
Right. That's the opportunity tomorrow night. And if the Raptors can find a way to make that happen... Ooh, it's go time.
We're going to talk about all of it on Monday.
Yep, Noodles will be back on Monday. We're out of here. Enjoy your weekends. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. Roddy, great seeing you, buddy.
Yeah,
thank
good
you
being
for
with
checking
you boys.
In as always.
Yep.
Let's see if Roddy knows how to end this.
We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll talk to you then.